Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres get ready for their first of three in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. And we've got Jesse Agler in studio giving you all the latest information in that newfangled kind of way.
Are you a statistician geek?
I wouldn't classify myself as that, but...
But yes!
Yeah, sure, fine, I am.
We've also got Kurt Bavacqua giving you information in a different kind of way.
You just made it up.
No, I didn't. I saw it on Fangraphs.
There you go, almost. Fangraphs, real close.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bavacqua.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. So that was like 2 days ago, right?
Yes.
And you're making fun of Fangraphs. You're calling it fan graphics.
Graphs.
Right. Now you know.
I thought you said fan graph.
Well, now you know what it is.
Yes.
And you told me when you came in. And by the way, we've got a win to talk about. We've got a roster move to talk about. We got an A-Rod to talk about. But you came in here today, and you've been on fan graphs all day.
Yeah. Kids are all ticked off at me.
You're into this, though. You're understanding the value.
I don't know about that yet.
Okay.
I can understand where people could be really into it and see stuff that really isn't there. So I'm checking it out.
All right, so you're in the investigative phase of this thing.
It's interesting.
You have a curiosity.
Yes.
Okay.
They raised the curiosity in me.
That's the first step.
I know.
We're going to suck you in. You're going to start reading fan graphics, and then you're going to be a statistician geek.
It's not fan graphics.
I know.
It's fan graphs.
I know, but you called it fan graphics, so.
But you don't have to keep repeating.
Oh, okay. Do you have the cut handy blooper? We could just have you saying it, play it over and over and over again.
He's shaking his head no, yeah. But I'm sure he has
it. Oh, no, he's being very nice to you,
is what's happening.
You will blooper a beer after the show.
I know.
All right, so I'm glad you're into fan graphs a little bit now.
Yeah.
You're investigating. You're being curious. And we're going to turn you into a statistician geek. Your term, not mine.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
We'll
work on it.
I'm already into it. I mean, I know a lot of statistics that you'd be surprised.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's one of your favorites?
That.
You know what I know you like? Because we've talked about it, and you may not even realize it's a statistic, but we've had the conversation about it, is the BABIP. Batting average on balls in play.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to, like, you know, a guy is hitting the ball really well, but he's not getting hits. It sort of measures that whole sort of thing. I know as someone who played, you've got an appreciation and an understanding for something like that.
Absolutely.
That's a good
one.
And
that's stuff that wasn't kept back when I played.
Correct.
So you just, you know, like, you know, you figure they all even out. The old adage.
Sure.
They all even out.
Sure.
Well, I'm not too sure about that.
I agree. That's a good one to sort of be questioning of. But just for BABIP one second, I mean, when you played, I imagine there were times when you're like, man, I can't hit the ball any better. But they're catching them, or they're going right to guys, or it's a line drive right to the second baseman, whatever it is. And then there were other times, I imagine, when you were accidentally getting hits at bat after at bat. You know, like you didn't hit it well, but it sort of dropped in front of a guy or whatever. And
that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
That does happen.
Yeah. All right.
And you need those.
Of course.
Yes.
But do they all even out? That's the question.
Yeah,
so,
that is the question.
All right. A-Rod, just a few minutes ago, if you haven't heard yet, not only collected his 3,000th career hit, but he did so on this, a home run off of Justin Verlander, of all people. It was the first pitch he saw in his first at-bat in the bottom of the first inning. He goes the other way off Verlander and becomes just the third man in Major League history to collect his 3,000th hit on a homer. Derek Jeter was the last to do it, and Wade Boggs did it as well. So all kinds of Yankee connections there. But A-Rod goes deep off of Verlander in the Bronx for his 3,000th hit, and that's a little bit of history that just took place.
So I'm going to ask you something.
Okay.
A surprising question.
Okay.
Do you think he's on PEDS right now?
I don't know, man. I got to tell you, like, and this is a generational thing, and I saw somebody writing about this online earlier. Like, there was a time maybe when I was offended by it and I was turned off by it, and I'm just – I kind of shrug my shoulders now. It doesn't really get to me.
The sanctity of the game doesn't bother me.
The reason I asked you is because
I can't imagine that he is.
Okay.
I mean, I can't imagine a human being that ignorant. But yet, you watch him swing the bat, and he's hitting the ball with ease just as far as he did before. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out what the deal is.
I mean, he was always an incredibly talented guy.
Yes.
And if you're going to be of the belief that he didn't use performance-enhancing drugs for his entire major league career, that if at the beginning of his major league career he was clean, we saw him do stuff like this at the beginning of his major league career. And maybe that is one of the great legacies, not great, but one of the crazy ironies of this steroid era that we had is that, and Bonds is another great example, before he became this, like, superhero-sized, you know, caricature of himself, he was a hell of a baseball player.
Absolutely.
You know, and he was a different baseball player. He wasn't going to hit 70 homers in a season, but he very well might have hit 55 or 60 to go with 45 or 50 stolen bases. And that's the funny thing, one of them, I guess, about the whole deal, is that you have these guys that were great, great players that then went to these insane, absurd levels of performance. And so, okay, back on the other side of the swing, maybe, for A-Rod. And I don't know. He might be using something that's undetectable. I don't know. He may be totally clean right now.
But just watched that home run, and I go,
it was a
wow.
Flick of the wrist. Well, it's also
was.
Like 180 feet to right field at Yankee Stadium. Let's not forget that. This swing, and granted, he's going the other way as a right-handed batter. But, you know, don't forget the short porch in the Bronx.
Yeah, but
that's a Babe Ruth special, you know.
That's 370 feet.
Yeah, with a flick of the wrist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just kind of stuck the bat out there.
I mean, sure, you got Verlander out there. He's providing a lot of the power.
Sure.
And I guess that's part of the...
The guy's got 13 home runs, by the way.
I know. Yeah, I'm kind of glad for him. You know, I think I'm of the thought process that he did wrong. He paid his dues. Mm-hmm. He was out of the game for a whole year.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Very long time.
For somebody to come back and be able to perform at the level that he's performing.
I think probably people are generally turned off by him. Mm-hmm. There's a smugness, and he's not a very likable guy. And I met him when I was in college, and before he kind of turned into bad guy A-Rod. He had just signed the Texas deal. And so he was still sort of, I think, thought of at that point as just really one of the brilliant young superstars in the game. And it's the only time I'd ever had any one-to-one interaction with him. And he was incredibly gracious and nice and kind, and we were away from the ballpark. And it was like I ran into him in a parking lot at the University of Miami. And he was just sitting on the curb, literally, like sitting on the curb. And I got out of my car. I was like, oh, that's A-Rod. What's up, man? Hey, how are you? Like, had a really nice conversation with him. And
I really like him.
No, I don't know that I really like him.
You have to.
I don't know, but I don't
know. You have to go back to that original conversation.
Yeah, and so, but I don't know, like, he's just, he turned into a legitimate bad guy, and part of that is going to the Yankees, you know, and part of that is sort of the persona and the attitude and a lot of the things he's said and done over the years. It's really easy to dislike A-Rod. It is. For people, especially that haven't met him and had a nice interaction the way I did, like, it's really, really, really easy to dislike this guy. So I would imagine the people out there tonight are, in their most kind moments, rolling their eyes at this accomplishment for him. I think that's probably the way the majority of people would react. I'm curious what people think.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand, you know, someone who's like, hey, good for him, as you sort of are right now. It's a weird one, man. All this steroid stuff.
It really is.
It skewed everything for us. This wasn't an issue. You know, I guess, and you know, Maris and the Yankee fans weren't necessarily on board with him, you know, for breaking Babe's record. They all, you know, the story goes, they all wanted it to be Mickey Mantle. But there was nothing else besides sort of a preference there. It wasn't that Roger Maris was a bad dude or that he was suspended for an entire season or that he was breaking rules. It was just that they preferred their guy and not the hired gun, almost, you know, that Roger Maris was in that moment for them. But what complicated legacies these guys all have now. And Pete Rose, you know, from a generation before, for different reasons. But on field, you know, when you talk about Bonds and A-Rod and Maguire and Sosa, just complicated, complicated feelings, you know, for fans surrounding these guys. And it's one thing if it's your guy, right? Like, if you're a Cub fan, you probably still have a soft spot for Sammy Sosa, where the rest of us have sort of dismissed him, you know, by this point. But I don't have answers. You know, I'm rambling, I know. But
quite a few guys have been dismissed.
Yeah.
Especially by people who vote for the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's another story.
Yes.
That's another story. And that's a part of it, no question. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it. So there you go. A-Rod hits number 3,000 just a few moments ago. A homer. It's incredible. Just the third guy to do it with a home run. That's pretty crazy. Boggs, Jeter, and A-Rod are the three. all in the recent years. So anyway, that's sort of the big news of the day, along with you reading FanGraphs this afternoon. I put
well,
those on
right
equal.
Up there where they run.
Those are equal standing, as far as I'm concerned.
It probably isn't.
That's
some circles.
A-Rod hitting number 3,000 tonight to me is just as noteworthy as Kurt Bavak was sitting down and reading Fangraphs.com earlier
wow,
today.
I never thought I'd get that.
Crazy,
get
right?
That
all right, yeah. We'll take a break now. We'll come back. We'll talk about yesterday afternoon's win and also about the roster move today. Corey Mazzoni, no great surprise, option to AAA El Paso, and a position player recalled by the Padres, not necessarily the one you might have thought. So we'll do that, and of course we'll get to your questions and your comments, A-Rod and otherwise, on Twitter. Just use the hashtag PadresSH. You can also go online to Padres.com/social hour to watch and listen to the show and to chat with other fans. We've got all of that going on. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll have some fun with Kurt Bavakwa. Father's Day this Sunday. Don't forget about that. But meanwhile, if you know an all-star mother, forget the fathers for just a moment. Arm & Hammer and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one All-Star mom and send her and her family to the 2015 MLB All-Star Game in Cincinnati. So go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mom so special. Allstarmom.com. We'll take a break, come back, talk about yesterday's win in Oakland, and ooh, so much more. Padres Social Hour live from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Kurt Bavakwa. I'm Jesse Agler. We're live at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Padres and the Diamondbacks will begin a weekend series tonight, a 6:40 first pitch. For the Diamondbacks. I like those 6:40 games. I say that all the time when we talk about it. They do it in Denver, too. I am a fan of the 6:40 games, and that's what we got coming up tonight. Tomorrow, a 7:10 game, and then a day game on Sunday. So James Shields out there tonight. Nice job by Ian Kennedy yesterday. We'll certainly talk about that in just a moment. I do want to go out to Twitter, though, and remind everybody that you can join the conversation on social media by using the hashtag PadresSH. The first question comes from Gehrig, and he wants you to know this is a serious question, Kurt Bavakwa. Where did you get that hat? I've been looking for it for quite some time now. It's the yellow with the brown brim, old school. Did you get it here?
I did.
Okay. That's easy then.
In the clubhouse.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's not available in the store, that particular one.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
I think so.
Well, you come and check it out here in the store. They do swap stuff in and out pretty regularly here, so you never know. But that one, that's pretty serious
business.
If we
get enough wants, I'll go to them because I want to have as many people in the brown as possible.
The brown,
especially when the Dodgers are in town.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
It just irritates some people that are in Dodger blue.
Yes.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. Mentioned that the Padres and Diamondbacks are getting ready to start their series tonight. Craig has a prediction. I like this one. He says, Matt Kemp's going to hit two or three homers this series against the Diamondbacks. What, two in the last three games now for Matt Kemp?
It wouldn't surprise me. He's, like we talked about, his swing and his timing is so fine. And when he finds it, he gets out in front of balls like he did yesterday. And it was, you know, he got the home run. Norris got the home run. We got the other run from another guy that contributed, Melvin Upton Jr.
Yeah.
It was all well done. Everybody did their job yesterday.
That's a really good way to say it.
And it was what we've expected all year long. Good pitching. Those guys that contribute. Melvin Upton Jr. all of a sudden comes on the roster. He gets his first extra base hit. Or his first triple, shows his speed, which is something that that he's really going to help this club with. And he kind of excites me when he's on the field. And boy, I tell you what, if he can put any kind of numbers up, he can be an exciting player. If he gets on base, he makes things happen.
Well, there's no question about that.
That was nasty right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, it was a little ugly. And,
yeah.
And probably could have been a lot worse, as crazy as that sounds. But the collision in right field on the triple, he what you just said about him is what people have said about him the last couple of years, and that's how he got that big contract, you know, to go to the Atlanta Braves, and then he hit under 200, you know, his first year in Atlanta, hit barely 200 last season, which is crazy. which is crazy. But if it does sort of click for him here, boy, I mean, that's a huge deal for the Padres because he's a sensational defensive center fielder. He's a true leadoff man. And he's got the capability to really bring a lot of excitement and energy to the top of the order. So, yeah, you're right, if. But it's a gigantic if after the last couple of years. But who knows? Change of scenery, you know, you've seen it 101 times over the years. It can be a big deal.
I've seen it a whole lot.
Yeah.
And change of scenery really helps people in certain circumstances. And I think based on what I've seen with him so far, there's a good possibility it might be here.
What do you look for when you think it's a change of scenery guy? Like, what's the deal for him in a particular circumstance that you say, hey, this guy could be a change of scenery guy?
Well, just the way he approaches his ABs, the enthusiastic part of the game with how they play. I got to tell you, I go back to the first time he ever set foot on a field as a Padre. He pinch ran, they put him into the game, and he almost got tagged out at home.
Yes.
If you remember that. And I questioned it. And then I rewatched over and over again what the situation was because I didn't want to get on somebody unfairly. Mm-hmm. And there, lo and behold, the guy telling him whether to slide or stand up is standing at home plate just going like this. You know, not saying, come on, and like this.
Yeah.
Just saying like this. Or in other words, there's no play on you.
Right, don't worry about it.
And I think
– It was a deep fly to left, and I think Simmons made the great relay throw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the guy that was telling him, and I don't even remember who it was. It really doesn't matter.
Sure.
But they should learn a lesson from it because there's different ways to do things. You know, sure, you don't want to slide. You don't want to possibly break your ankle in a hole at home plate that somebody's dug. But – you got to hurry, too.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that.
Also part of that play was that Simmons' throw was
crazy.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah.
He's like the only guy that could have even made that relatively close. But he did, and you're right. That's all about knowing the situation, and that's a good point. So yesterday, I like the way you said it. It was sort of the blueprint win, you know, for the Padres, sort of the way we dreamed it mm-hmm. up at the beginning of this year. What did Ian Kennedy do, right? Ian Kennedy allows a run on 4 hits in 6 innings. You know, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. He did his thing. You get good stuff out of the bullpen yesterday. And it was sort of like, okay, that's the way it's supposed to be. And then you get the whole solo homer from Kemp. You get the solo homer from Norris. And then the manufactured run where not only did Melvin Upton triple on that collision play in right center field, but then his brother, Justin, brings him home on the sack pop. I'm not going to call it a sack fly. I'm going to call it a sack pop. And we all know about all of the foul territory in Oakland. Is this a catch that should be made? What do you say, Kurt Pavakwa?
Well, you certainly don't make it in the ninth inning of a tie game.
Right.
But, you know, you got to leave it up to the fielder. I mean, he's got to know the situation, and you got to realize what the deal is. It looked like there that he thought he was going to be able to throw the guy out at home. And the speed of Upton, he's just not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He just made an error there catching that ball and thinking that he could throw the guy out at home.
My take is I agree with you that you, in the ninth inning of a tie, you absolutely are letting it drop. You're not taking the risk, but you're down 2-1. And Justin Upton is very dangerous and at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the out and taking my chances trying to throw him out. Because if you let it drop and he hits a 2-run homer on the next pitch, you're going to feel like a real jerk. And he's a guy that can do that.
That's exactly right. And I think that's another reason the ball was caught.
Yeah.
You want Upton out of the batter's box.
Yeah, as much as anything. So, I mean, I definitely see both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you I've got all the right answers. But I didn't think it was a crazy play by Stephen Vogt, you know, by any stretch of the imagination.
No, not really.
Yeah. But you could certainly argue it both ways. After the game, Pat Murphy was told by a reporter, hey, Matt Kemp said this was a must win. And you always sort of, you know, must win in June is a little bit, you know, whatever. But obviously, you understand what Matt Kemp is trying to say. So Murph was asked to sort of react to that. And if he thought yesterday's game was a must win in Oakland.
I don't think so much to prove something, but I think the guys, you know, you think back a couple games ago when nothing went our way, you know, and there's been a lot of lineouts. And that can kind of wear on you a little bit. And when you're trying to respond and you're trying to get results in baseball, it doesn't always happen. The other team's good. The other team makes pitches. The other team knows your weaknesses. And when you're trying real hard and you're trying to prove something, then I think it's hard. And it was a kind of a must win, but and Matty's right. But you still got to let the game flow. And you got to meet it halfway. And if you try to force it, you know, a lot of bad stuff can happen, so we've got to keep in that spirit.
makes a lot of sense, everything that he's saying right there. And we're certainly feeling this, you know, from this team. It's time to get it going. And congratulations, by the way, to Pat Murphy. Probably should have started the show with that. That's my error. You know, he didn't want to make yesterday about him, which I totally understand. But a good deal of it is about him. That's history. You know, in the Padre record books, Pat Murphy's first win as a major league manager.
It's certainly history in Pat Murphy's record book.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's for sure. You know what I like about that whole deal? That Matt Kemp not only said it was a must-win game, he went out and did something about it. So when your advertised leader is of the thought process that it's a must-win and you go out and hit a home run, for the second day in a row, by the way, it's a pretty good deal.
I would say so. Really good deal for Matt Kemp, and you'd love to see him get going. And that sort of leans us into this Arizona series, which gets underway in about an hour and 20 minutes. Our buddy AJ Cassavell, who writes for MLB.com, he's a really good kid, by the way. I say kid, I think he's my age. He's a good dude. And he's sort of previewing the series. He tweeted this a few moments ago, and it kind of – this is how I feel right about now. Given the starting pitchers, the standings, and the changes taking place, this feels like a really, really important series for the Padres. And it's James Shields versus Ruby De La Rosa. You're not facing the teeth of the rotation, so to speak, for the Diamondbacks. The Padres are throwing out their top three starters in this one. It does feel like a really, really important series for the Padres. They can go ahead of Arizona again in the standings here this weekend. And you got to build on yesterday. You got to keep it rolling here. You got to keep it rolling.
You do. But I have a question for him.
Yeah.
And I'll tweet it back to him. Why is it an important series for the Diamondbacks?
Ah, that's a good point. They're probably feeling the exact same way.
They're playing good baseball right now.
Yeah. They haven't necessarily had the tumult that the Padres have had. They did it before the season.
That's true.
They didn't do it this week. I think that's where he's coming from, but you're
because
right.
Because it was totally unexpected, maybe, the way they're playing?
Yeah, that too. But you're right. I bet the Diamondbacks are saying, hey, this is our opportunity to really put some distance between us and the Friars.
And maybe gain on a team that's struggling up north a little ways.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Paul Goldschmidt, by the way, was 0-for-4 last night against the Angels and for the Arizona team. And you might say, well, okay, that happens. Guys go 0-for-4 all the time. It was relevant because he had reached base 28 consecutive games. That streak is now over. That guy is so good, man.
So hopefully he's going into a little downspin.
Exactly.
He's got the type of approach at the plate that he's just not going to go bad for a long period of time.
No.
And plus, he's just flat out strong.
He's legitimately and literally one of the best players in baseball.
He is.
He's
really fun to watch.
And with no help, you know, a lot of nights in that Diamondback lineup, he's still putting up some pretty serious numbers. All right, we were talking about A-Rod a few moments ago, and you brought up the Hall of Fame and the voting and the BBWAA nonsense that goes along with that. And Jellyman's commentary was, hey, remember when 300 wins or 3,000 hits and 600 homers meant automatic induction into the Hall of Fame? PEDs stopped that. That's exactly right. I mean, it's just – it's complicated now. That's the word that I keep using, and I think it's the best word. It is very complex now as compared to what it used to be, because he's exactly right. If you had one of those things, you know, checked off, you were in. It wasn't a debate. And now for these guys in particular, and A-Rod is the king of them, it is very, very interesting, and it will be as they get 5 years out of their
careers. It really is, and I've had these discussions with guys that are very, very good friends of mine that could vote. And it's just not going to happen. They just are not going to vote for those guys that had any indulgence into that. And I'm talking about guys that are in the Hall of Fame. They will not vote for them. They don't think it's fair. And, you know, in some instances it's too bad, and in others it's not.
Well, what instances are too bad? I mean, I'm not saying names, but...
Because there's some you're just not sure about.
Right.
And then there's others you just feel.
What about, do you draw any line for the guys that actually failed tests and the guys that didn't? Because to me, if you're going to make a stink about this and you're going to make a thing about it, A-Rod failed a test.
Right.
Like Mike Piazza never failed a test. And the fact that Mike Piazza wasn't voted in this year, when you look at his numbers, the power numbers as a catcher, and people say, well, you know, there's a suspicion. We're like, oh, sorry. There wasn't a rule in place. There wasn't testing in place. MLB dropped the ball on that.
Guys don't go in the Hall of Fame that were drafted in, like, the 192nd round. It's just – it's much harder.
But look at the numbers he put up. It's crazy.
I'm kidding about that, naturally. No, you know what? He didn't fail a test.
Right.
So
how do you keep him out?
That's exactly what
– But your writer friends, your old cranky writer friends are holding stuff over a guy like that.
They're not writers, by the way.
The voting? Oh, are you talking like Veterans Committee
and
stuff like that? Okay. Well, because that's like last resort for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the writers and the fact that they're keeping these guys out on suspicion. And then it's just
– Well, you're talking about guys that didn't elect Ty Cobb the first time he was eligible for the
Some of those guys are probably still voting. That's how long they hold on.
No kidding.
Here's what I thought was the best tweet when the Hall of Fame voting was done this year, and I don't remember who it was, but it was something along the lines of when Biggio got elected, right? And nothing against Craig Biggio. But the tweet was basically, I'm paraphrasing, you know, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, down three or four, whatever you want to say, you know, two outs. I don't want Barry Bonds at the plate. Give me Craig Biggio. And I was like, that's it, in a nutshell. That's it. Like, if I gave you a scenario and I said you get either Craig Biggio or Barry Bonds to win the game in Game 7 of the World Series, 100 out of 100 people are saying Barry Bonds, if they're being honest with themselves. And he didn't get in, and Craig Biggio did. And again, I get it. It's more complicated than that now. And that's unfortunate, but it's also, to me, at times, a little bit silly. A little bit silly. That's what I would say about that. All right, we've got this roster move to talk about. We'll do that when we come back. Also get to more of your questions and your comments. All right, KB, I know you like the throwback stuff. You got the hat on today. You can go back in time with the Padres for way back Wednesdays. Oh, my goodness, this is so exciting. July 1st. A complete throwback experience, and after the game against the Mariners, which is at 12:40, remember, you got the brown and orange uniforms for the game, and then after the game, Little John.
Yeah!
Here it is. Post-game DJ set. Get your tickets at padres.com/WBW. That graphic is all you need to know. Padres.com/WBW. You come for the ball game against the Mariners. It's the natural rivalry. It's the 12:40 first pitch in the old uniforms, and then after the game, Little John will be doing his thing. We'll take a break. Yeah, take a break and talk about the roster move right after this. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Petco Park. That's where Kurt Bavacqua and Jesse are hanging out. Padres are in the desert. Whew. It was like 115 there today.
Tell me the roster move. Driving me crazy.
Sorry. Brett Wallace has been recalled from AAA El Paso. Corey Mazzoni has been optioned to the Chihuahuas. And to make room on the 40-man roster for Wallace, left-handed pitcher Yuri De La Rosa has been designated for assignment. It was a three-way roster move. The headline, of course, is that Brett Wallace has been called up. He spent all of last year in the minor leagues. He signed a contract to come to spring training with the Padres this season, and with the El Paso Chihuahuas so far this season in 61 games, Wallace has hit .305 with 8 homers and 37 runs batted in. So Brett Wallace, who we saw a good amount of in spring training, you know, kind of a lefty off the bench with some pop situation. This guy was a big-time prospect for the Astros once upon a time. It just never really happened for him. He's had some, you know, big-league time for sure, but he's going to get an opportunity here. And to me, one thing stands out about this. Pat Murphy would have to be, right? Have to, and I don't know for a fact because I haven't talked to Murph or A.J. Preller, but you have to imagine he is very involved in this decision. Because if A.J. Preller is like, all right, I need to bring up a guy, a position player from El Paso who fits a certain kind of profile, who better to ask than Pat Murphy, who'd been managing the club all year long. And so, you know, I know a lot of people – when Murphy was made the manager of the big league club, said, hey, this is going to be Cody Decker's opportunity, right? Because Cody Decker's down there and he's smashing his home runs. He's doing his thing. And I agree, by the way. But this could have been Cody Decker. Could have been. And it's not. And I think that says something about Brett Wallace and the way he's been performing this year for the Chihuahuas.
He has, and he's been swinging the bat well. And I think the one thing that hurt Cody Decker is that he hits from the other side of the plate. I think they wanted a left-handed hitter, and I think that was the big deal in this decision. And I think the decision was all Pat Murphy's.
All Pat Murphy's.
That's what I think. I don't know that for a fact.
Decker, just for reference, hitting .268 with 12 and 43. So he's doing his thing. You know, he's doing his thing in El Paso. I love Cody Decker. I really do. And I want to see him get an
just
opportunity.
It's amazing that he's been in the minor leagues for so long.
That's it. I want to see him get an opportunity in the big leagues. I want someone to prove to me that he can't hit big league pitching. Or I want to see him hit big league pitching, I guess, is a nicer way to say that. And you have to figure, right, that with Pat Murphy here, there's more of an opportunity for that. This is the guy that's managed him the last several seasons. But right now, this first move, it's going to be Brett Wallace. And as you said, you think it has something to do with being left-handed, and generally that comes into play.
I think Cody Decker will see his first major league uniform this year. One way or another, when the rosters are expanded at the end of the year, if it takes that long, Cody Decker will get called up. If it's not with this ball club, it'll be with another.
I like it. I would hope so. I really would. I would like to absolutely see that. But
and you're right. There's manager's choices. There's some people that look at players different ways. And when you get an opportunity like Pat Murphy has the last few years to see a player on a day-to-day basis, they know a heck of a lot more than guys that just go out and scout them for a couple of games every few months.
Sure.
So that's why I feel pretty confident in the fact that Pat Murphy had, if not all, a lot to do with the decision.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Sure.
Mickey on Twitter checks in with a similar sort of opinion. He goes, hey, Brett Wallace called up. Makes sense. Much-needed left-handed bat that Murphy knows well. Power good, good year in El Paso. That's it. That's everything in a nutshell right there. Nicely summarized by Mickey Koch. And so good for Brett Wallace.
Absolutely.
And obviously, by the way, he played for Murphy at Arizona State as well. So a guy that Murph knows pretty intimately. I want to do the Supercuts head-to-head challenge now. Can we do that? So yesterday was a tough one. You know, sometimes in this Supercuts head-to-head challenge, the couch will choose a player, Blooper will choose a player, and there's a clear winner. But yesterday's an interesting one, and so I want your help deliberating. I sort of named myself judge, jury, and executioner on this thing, and I'm not going to tell you who chose whom.
Okay.
So I'm just going to tell you. The two options are Ian Kennedy and Derek Norris. So Kennedy, we talked about it. He had the nice start, you know, six innings, one run, four hits. Derek Norris hit a home run that proved really to be the difference in the game. It put the Padres up they gave them their second run, and they only allowed one. So it was essentially the game-winning home run, even though it took place earlier in the game. So I think an argument could be made for either case. I'm leaning one way in my head, but I want to know what you think.
I'm leaning one way also.
Okay.
Ian Kennedy.
Oh, I see. I was leaning the other way.
Really?
Yeah, I was leaning the other way.
If it would have been a 2-1 game, I would have said Norris.
Right.
But because it was 3-1.
But his was the second run.
I'm going to go with the pitcher because that's what the game was about yesterday.
It's interesting.
That's not to say that.
Blooper?
You have to.
I mean, not that I know who picked for. Norris also played first base. First time, did a good job playing first base.
Yeah, that into the conversation.
Halfway through the game. Like.
I mean, now you know who he took. But it's a good point that he brings up.
Really?
He had Norris and the couch had Kennedy. I'm going to give it to Blooper.
It's to where you go. First base, he played a position, and all you do is have balls thrown at you.
Ah, come on. He did a nice job at first base. That's going to push it over the edge for me. I'm going to give it to Derek Norris.
Okay.
All right, so let's check the updated standings, Blooper. Wow. That was a big one because it would have been 10-9 had it gone to Ian Kennedy. Instead, it's 11-8, and that's a difference of one.
And you knew Blooper took Norris.
Yes, I did. But you know me, I like to pick against Blooper. I like to make him miserable.
Yeah, I know, but you should not know who picks who.
Well, I mean, you have to declare it on the show.
I understand that.
Are you calling me biased?
Yes.
I come at this completely, completely even.
I think it would, like, that scoring right there, without that little input by him, I think you would have went with Kennedy.
Well, you had an opportunity to argue the
other
way. Oh,
no, I'm not going to argue again. You just asked me my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. No,
I
but
didn't
I was
know I was supposed
Norris.
To be the lead attorney for the Ian Kennedy side.
You had an opportunity to represent the couch.
Well, I didn't get my closing argument in.
Well, the decision's been made. The gavel has been struck. So today's starting lineup. And look, the good news is there's another one today. There's 162
perfect.
Of these bad boys. So you get an opportunity to represent the couch and choose. It was Bill Center's choice anyway. So, you know, makes him look bad.
Hey, anytime the pitchers go six innings, and keep the other team down to one run.
As I said, the gavel has been struck.
I understand that. So, but I'm just going to still input what I think is right.
I would say you should probably focus your energy on today.
My energy?
Yeah, to move forward on this entire thing. Because I know you're really exerting yourself here. Yeah. All right. Today's starting lineup looks like this. So you'll have an opportunity to pick. Blooper will choose first, I believe, as far as the rotation is concerned. So we'll take a look at the lineup. You can study it for a moment here. The folks at home can study it as well. And then we'll let you know who you each choose in the old Supercuts head-to-head challenge. So the starting lineup is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Solarte is leading off at third base. Yonder Alonso will hit second at first, then Upton and Kemp in left and right. Norris batting fifth behind the dish. Will Venable hit sixth in center field. Spangenberg at second. Amarista at short. And Shields is pitching. Blooper will go first. And Blooper, your selection today is?
Matt Kemp.
All right. He's going with the hot hand.
Really? That's surprising.
Because?
Just because Blooper didn't bother to look at Shields' record in past years against the Oakland A's.
No, they're playing Arizona. So the Oakland,
that's right.
The Oakland stuff's not particularly relevant. This is what I said. Focus your energy here. You're still thinking about yesterday.
Fangraphs.
Who do you got?
I just
take Upton.
I'm going with Shields.
Okay, he's taking Shields. He likes James Shields getting to 8-0 tonight. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. We'll reconvene tomorrow night and declare a winner. Hopefully, again, it's a tough choice because they both have good nights.
I had no idea Shields' record against the Oakland A's.
Oh, you were just Yeah, I mean, he's faced them a good amount, I'm sure. You know, being in the American League all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, I don't
either. I just saw Blooper cringe when I said it, though.
All right. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Friday's a big haircut day. Got to be fresh for the weekend. So if you haven't gone yet, you still have some time. We'll take a break, come back, some Twitter questions coming in, and Kurt will tell you all about Matt Kemp's success against the Oakland A's in advance of tonight's game against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Oh, my goodness. What a show with Kurt Bevacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Nice 3-1 win over the Oakland Athletics yesterday, and tonight the start of a three-game weekend series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. We were arguing over the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Friar Fever checks in on Twitter. Controversy on Padres SH. Now it's truly a Friday. I guess so. Betty, by the way, she continues the Ian Kennedy argument for Kurt Bevacqua, and she goes, after all the pitching fiascos we had leading up to yesterday, there's no way that Kennedy wasn't the star of the game. It's a fair point. I don't know that I would have used the word fiasco, but you know what? If the gavel had not struck the desk, that would have been a pretty good point. And maybe we would have swung back to Kennedy, but we didn't. And so Blooper got the point in the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Did you hear about this kid, by the way?
Got the last word.
Yeah.
Blooper got the last word.
That might have been what happened. Mm-hmm. I had to move on. He was manipulating
did.
The situation.
You did.
You see this kid with the Tampa Yankees, the minor league team in the Florida State League? Wes Wilson, okay? Here's his day. And I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. They had a big extra inning game against Bradenton, a Pirate affiliate. He catches the first 15 innings of the game, which just right there, you get a pat on the back. If you're catching 15 innings of a game, you know, nice job. So he catches the first 15 innings. Then they need him to pitch. So he pitches the 16th and the 17th, two perfect innings. So he catches 15. Knee's got to feel pretty terrible at that point. Young guy, I guess. He can do it. But still, then he pitches two perfect innings. And then, in the bottom of the 17th, he homered to win it, his first professional home run.
It's start of the week.
Yeah, I mean,
Florida State League.
Yeah, he gets Florida State League player and pitcher of the week.
Absolutely.
And rookie of the week. Anything
the
they can give him.
The Bradenton Pirates, they have been affiliate for so long.
Yeah, they're the Marauders now. That's the name, which is another word for pirate, but that's what they call themselves.
Right.
Yeah, so the Tampa Yankees and the Bradenton Pirates, whatever, on the west coast of Florida. And so he catches 15, throws two perfect, and then hits his first professional homer for the walk-off. So you remember with the Indians last week, the bullpen guys, they had the ransom note for the home run ball?
Yes.
So similar situation here.
Yeah.
Florida State League version of it, a little bit scaled down, right? So a kid or whoever caught the ball for the home run, and the guys in the bullpen got it from him. They traded him a bunch of balls. And so they made a ransom note for this kid for his first professional home run that capped off this wild night. But it was very funny because, you know, the guys with the Indians, it was like, I want a computer and an iPad, whatever, what else. That one of these was like a bag of golf balls. One of them was like dinner out at a Chinese restaurant. It was very, you know, sweet because it was, you know, Florida State League.
There was
a little bit
between,
different.
Yeah, the Florida State League and the big leagues.
Yeah. One guy asked for like a pair of shoes.
$3 a day meal money.
A little bit different.
Exactly.
A little bit different. Hey, be at Petco Park next Friday, a week from today, for San Diego's biggest happy hour, Padres Beer Fest. It features live entertainment plus $5 beers from a variety of local and national breweries. Stay for the action as the Pods take on the Snakes at 7:10. Get your tickets, Padres.com/beerfest. It is back next week, Padres.com/beerfest. Take a break, more social hour right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back with Kurt Pavakwa. I'm Jesse Agler. We are live from the AMR studio at Petco Park. Padres and the Diamondbacks from heated Phoenix, Arizona. I imagine the roof will be closed. Last time the Padres were there, I was with the team in Phoenix, and it was actually like incredibly pleasant out. And the roof was open. The panels were open, I think, for all four games of the series, except for some rain at one point. They closed it midway through one of the games. But it was just gorgeous. It was like upper 70s, low 80s during the day. And I think today was like a 114, 115 in Phoenix.
I'll be over there the first week of July for a baseball tournament.
Should be like 122.
I know.
I hope this is an indoor baseball tournament.
No roof.
Oh, my goodness. Good luck to you.
No roof. I think I'll let my wife go.
Yeah, a lot of water and sunscreen. That's all I got to say about
that. She likes the heat.
Does she?
That's why
she
married me.
Not bad. Hey, let's do an AMR injury report. We got a couple of updates coming out of the start of this series in Arizona. Jeff Sanders of the Union Tribune passes along a couple of nuggets. First and foremost, catcher Tim Fedorovich caught a bullpen session today. First time he's done that since he was hurt. He caught Odrysimir Despaigne's bullpen. He hopes to begin a rehab assignment at the end of June or early in July. So that's certainly good, encouraging news. And, you know, these guys that are rehabbing at the complex in Peoria, when the team is in Phoenix, they can come over, be around the big league club, be in the clubhouse, be in the dugout during the games. So that's always really nice. So encouraging news there on Tim Fedorovich, and certainly pulling for him to get well soon. Also, Brandon Morrow played catch for the first time since he was shut down trying to come back from that shoulder injury. And he said it, quote, felt great. So a small step for Brandon Morrow, but a step nonetheless. That was Josh Johnson.
Josh.
It was like after he threw, I guess he said he felt some tingling in his fingers, and they backed off for another couple of days.
But
and we'll wait.
Haven't heard anything since then.
No, we haven't. All right, that's the AMR Injury Report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amr-sandiego.com. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up this Friday social hour in just a moment. First, though, I want to remind you that as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. The end of the show right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, wrapping up Padres Social Hour on this Friday. Padres and the Diamondbacks coming up at 6:40. Kurt Pavakwa, you are being placed on the Cholula hot seat.
I love it.
We began the show by talking about A-Rod. He got his 3,000th hit tonight. It was a home run, and so we talked about PEDs and the Hall of Fame and everything it meant. If I were to give you a vote for the Hall of Fame, are you voting for these guys? Yes or no? Are you in for Bonds? Are you in for A-Rod when it's all said and done and they're all retired and eligible?
Anybody that tested positive, no. Anybody that did not test, and there's just suspicion surrounding them, they're good as far as I'm concerned.
What about if somebody was mentioned in a report saying they had used it, but there was no testing?
You mean somebody accusing?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay.
That doesn't work with me.
Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap. We'll see you tomorrow.